You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. You might remember back in January, there were several sightings of a fireball in the sky over southeast Michigan. There was a buzz about it on the internet, video was posted, and the following day, Michigan Radio reported that the United States Geological Survey confirmed it was a meteoroid, which exploded in the atmosphere about 15 miles above ground. At the time, the boom it caused was reported to register 2.0 on the Richter scale, which measures the magnitude of earthquakes. For the USGS and NASA, the event was not that big of a deal. But it turns out all of this happened over a bunch of sensors, including cameras, seismometers, infrared microphones, which gave scientists a lot more information than they would normally get. Joining us now is Jeroen Ritsema. He's a seismologist and professor of earth and environmental sciences at the University of Michigan. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
Did you actually hear the boom yourself or see that flash that night?
No, I did not. I did not hear or see it. I heard it on the news. And the next morning when I came in, I saw the seismic recording here in Ann Arbor. And that actually caught my attention. And that's how I got into looking for other data in Michigan and in Ohio to see if that burst was seismically recorded further than just Ann Arbor.
So what kind of data did you get from this concentration of sensors?
Well, we got from these data basically three pieces of observation. We had a really good recording of the ground motion that we saw in seismometer data. We had direct recording of sound from infrasound recordings. And then we had from a satellite, we had visible light. So we can actually pinpoint exactly where the burst of the meteorite happened in Michigan.
That seismic activity that you've recorded, was that due just because of the sound of the explosion shaking the ground?
Yes, that's correct. The sound of the explosion propagates through the atmosphere and it perturbs the ground a little bit. And that's enough for us to see on seismometers that are buried within the ground.
How rare is it to get this much data from one minor meteoroid?
It's pretty rare. My colleague Michael Hedlund from the University of California, San Diego, has analyzed similar events, I think in 2004, in 2010. So maybe once in a decade, once in 5 years, we record something like this. Actually, the biggest event that we ever recorded was in 2013, a big explosion over Russia.
Right.
That was actually recorded pretty much worldwide on seismometers and infrasound.
So what did the data tell you about this particular meteoroid? What do we know about it?
What we learned from this particular meteorite is that it exploded pretty much around 12, 13 miles in the atmosphere. We learned from the satellite data that it came in fairly steep, at a fairly steep angle, roughly 30,000 miles per hour, about 30 degrees from vertical. And it exploded pretty much above Hamburg, where most of the meteorite fragments were found. But also exactly the data from the satellite and the data from the seismic recordings were pretty much in agreement of where it was within a mile or so.
Here's a question I have. You know, when we see Hollywood's versions of something coming in, it kind of breaks apart. But we had this big boom. Was this a sonic boom? Was this the thing exploding? Tell me what that boom was from.
The boom that you probably heard is the sonic boom because this rock comes in much, much faster than the speed of sound. So it generates a sonic boom, very much like what jet fighters might do when they fly over much faster than the speed of sound. But what we recorded seismically was really the burst, was really the terminal burst, the explosion of the meteor.
How difficult was to gather all this different data together and make it something useful that you can understand? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of cross-referencing necessary to make sense of it all.
Yes. Well, we were very lucky because this meteor propagated over Michigan, and we just happened to have a set of sensors that just happened to be deployed in eastern North America by IRIS, which is an organization that deploys seismic instrumentation around the world, but also in the United States. So we were lucky to have 160 infrasound sensors, more than 10 seismic stations, and then the satellite data recording that same event by all three measures.
And these instruments were there for another purpose?
Yeah, the seismic instrumentations are there really for a different purpose. In the last 10 years, the IRIS organization has deployed seismic instruments that have moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. And those are mostly intended to study the North American crust and the North American plate to understand geological processes in the region.
How useful is this data collection? I mean, how will it be used? What will it tell us about things to look for in the future?
Well, things that one could use these data for is understanding the frequencies of these smaller meteorite explosions. We have some idea of how often they might occur. It's something on the order of 1,000 to 2,000 times per year. But we have to be lucky enough to record them with all these instrumentations that we have. So we get a better sense of the frequency of these events. Something else you can do, since we have a very good idea of where this particular meteorite burst, we have a very good pinpoint of the location of the burst. We could then use the recorded sound to actually understand the physics of sound propagation through the atmosphere. And that propagation depends a lot on the temperature structure of the atmosphere. It depends on the wind conditions in the atmosphere. So something like this can be used to study the temperature and wind conditions in the upper atmosphere, where it's very difficult to collect data.
Now, you're a seismologist. I assume that messing around with meteors or meteoroids just not your school of thought most of the time.
No, that's right. This was a funny distraction for me for a couple of months. But normally I look at structures maybe 1,000 to 2,000 miles deep in the Earth's interior.
And so not 15 miles up. Yeah.
Right. I never look up. I usually look down. That's correct.
Jeroen Ritsema is a seismologist and professor of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Michigan. We've been talking about the small meteoroid which flashed across the sky in southeast Michigan back in January and the data that were gathered from that event. Thanks very much.
Thank you.